Chapter 27 Aboard the Millennium Falcon. They're running. Leia, once again in her rear-facing seat position, turned to stare through the forward viewports.
What?
They're running. Han leaned back and stretched, nonchalant. I chased him off.
Sure you did.
But on the sensor board, the frigate was indeed outbound.
I wonder what they wanted in the first place.
Me, of course. Us, I mean. You know the mentality.
Leia glared. Oh, I know the mentality, all right.
By the way, thanks for not letting our passenger come visit the captain.
That's better.
On the asteroid, far away from the habitat, light flared, a brilliant, piercing white glow. As it faded, Han and Leia could see damage remaining where it had been. A black and red hole, tiny at this distance, through which atmosphere began venting in a column that rapidly grew to be kilometers tall. Even at the distance of half a kilometer, Jaina saw the rail car ascending toward her. It had running lights, making it easy to spot in the darkness. A quick touch with the Force confirmed that neither Jag nor Zek was in control of the vehicle. With her lightsaber, she cut through both rails of the track, then hauled herself up a few meters and cut through again, slicing away a span of track. Then she hauled herself back up, coming to a stop 20 meters above the gap she'd created. The rail car hit the gap. It could have come clean off the rails, floating into the void of the cavern. But it instead angled the other way, and its nose hit the far section of track dead on. It came to a sudden stop, the cars behind it accordioning, piling up like a freight hauler disaster. A small figure was ejected from the lead car. Alima rose, hurtling past the gap, and grabbed at a crosstie, coming to an abrupt stop a handful of meters below Jaina. Jaina smiled down at her.
"Hello again."
Alima's mouth twisted.
"This is no longer a game. Get out of our way."
"For me, it was never a game. Say, how are you going to climb the track and swing a lightsaber with only one working arm?"
"We will find a way."
Alima ascended another few crossties. Now she was only 3 meters beneath Jaina's feet.
"You could surrender. Throw away your lightsaber, and your blowgun and darts and other toys, pretty much everything on your person, and I'll take you to safety, and you'll live."
Alima shook her head. Her half-length brain tail came free of her hood.
"With the universe still out of balance, with the wicked not punished, we think not."
Then it came, a low, rumbling roar from some great distance to Jaina's left. She peered off into the darkness, remaining mindful of Alima's position through her sense of the Force.
"Some new trap?"
"We were about to ask you the same thing."
A speaker box aboard the mangled rail car began talking, its voice speaking basic, with a light, lilting accent Jaina had never heard before.
"Attention, all workers of Jonex Mine 811B. Our sensors indicate a catastrophe-level event. Seek the nearest Omega-designated shelter immediately. Activate all emergency beacon composts at once. Attention, all workers of Jonex Mine 811B.
Faintly, she could hear the same message being echoed off distant stone walls. She glanced down at Alima again.
"Sounds bad. Guess we'd better stay here until we find out what's gone wrong."
Alima released her grip on the crosstie, but did not drift away from the track. She climbed a step toward Jaina, manipulation of the force keeping her steady on the cross ties, and drew forth her lightsaber, igniting it with a snap hiss.
Get out of our way!
There was another distant rumble, this time from the right. Jaina's ears popped from a change in pressure. She worked her jaw, equalizing the pressure, and her hearing returned to normal.
Sorry, what was that again?
She lit her own lightsaber.
Idiot!
Alima waved, a sweeping gesture, as if slicing with a vibroblade. Energy, invisible, reeking of the dark side, slammed into Jaina, forcing her back. The track she held onto bent several meters above her head, moving her out of the way. The blow drove the wind from her lungs and sent a wave of pain through her chest. In her moment of discomfiture, Alima leapt up past her. She landed on a cross tie 20 meters above Jaina. She began climbing as though the vertical track were a staircase, using only her feet and the force. A blaster bolt from above caught her nearly by surprise. Alima got her blade up in time to absorb some of it, but the impact knocked her back and away from the track. She fell 50 meters or more, and was almost swallowed by darkness before she recovered sufficiently to vector back toward the lower section of track. Grimacing with pain, Jaina looked up. Descending toward her was Jag, in a free fall allayed by infrequent pulses of his backpack thruster. Jaina moved hand over hand along the track, reaching the point where Alima's force attack had bent it, and began climbing from there. If she got high enough, fast enough, she could cut free another section, perhaps making the gap too great for Alima to leap past, even in this low gravity. The track wavered as something hit the angled section she had just left. She glanced back. Jag was there, standing on one leg. Through his visor, Jaina could see that he was sweating, probably from pain. He glanced down toward Alima.
"Did you give her the chance to surrender?"
Jaina nodded.
"She said no. Rudely."
"That's it, then."
He jerked a thumb upward, signaling for her to climb.
"Go."
"I'll stay. We have to deal with Alima."
"I'll deal with Alima. Someone's using explosives, city busters at least, and they've cracked the shell of this asteroid. The atmosphere's venting. And Zek, he's one chamber up and he's a mess. I can't get him to leave. He'll die here if you don't help him."
Jaina looked down at the climbing Alima, up at the distant gap into the next chamber, and finally at Jag.
"You're going to die."
"Maybe. But my suit can handle hard vacuum for an hour or more. Yours, with your mask, 5 minutes. Who dies first? Go on. When you get to the next cavern, cut the track free."
Jaina looked at him. The Jaina of a few weeks ago would have seethed, argued. It was her right to stay here until the bitter end. Her right. Jag's, too.
"Good luck."
Her words emerged as a whisper. She leapt up and began climbing as fast as her strength and boosts from the Force would allow her. Jag pulled a pouch free of his utility belt and jammed it onto the metal of the track he stood on. Then he fired off his thruster and ascended. He didn't have to worry about overtaking Jaina. She was climbing fast. Below, Alima leapt across the gap separating the lower track from the upper. She landed exactly where Jag had stood moments ago. Jag made sure his comlink was active.
"Boom one!"
He wasn't fast enough. He'd uttered the first word when Alima gestured. The explosives package he'd affixed to the rail sailed free of the track. It exploded a moment later, far enough away that it did no more to Alima than cause the track she stood on to sway, She stared up at him, murder in her eyes, and began climbing again, almost as fast as Jaina, faster than Jag's poor low-gravity thrusters could carry him. As she climbed, the bent section of track beneath her twisted back the other way, and then again toward her, and finally came free entirely, a broken section 4 meters long. Rapidly, borne by invisible powers of the Force, it rose past Alima, flying straight toward Jag. He grimaced.
"This is going to hurt."
The track came level with Jag, a few meters away, then swung toward him like a club, one end remaining in place, the other end hammering at his midsection. The Beskar plate took the force of the blow, but that merely meant it distributed the impact across his entire chest. Jag hurtled to one side like a ball kicked by a rancor, his head and limbs jerking in the opposite direction. His left leg, probably already broken at the thigh, was suddenly engulfed in greater pain, as though his bone marrow had been replaced by a lit lightsaber blade. He flew perhaps 30 meters. But the flying section of track got ahead of him and swung again, batting him back toward Alima. Still, the breastplate held. Still, he could breathe, could think. Barely. His body a jangled mass of fiery nerve endings, he crashed into the remaining section of vertical track a couple of meters beneath Alima. He managed to clamp his left crush gaunt onto it.
"We are sure you flew your X-wing."
Alima's face was now covered by a transparasteel mask, probably the same one she wore when escaping her own trap at Galadder 8, Jag guessed. Her voice came across his helmet speakers.
"Your companions will not have sabotaged it. They want you to escape. So we will leave in it. Small compensation for ship. Clearly, we need to punish you more."
It took an effort to make the words emerge in recognizable fashion.
"Alima, you're never going to leave this asteroid. Your insanity and the last traces of the Dark Nest end here and now."
The shock on Alima's features suggested that she had just witnessed an insect reciting poetry. Profane poetry. Jag felt his stomach lurch just a little. The track they both held had given way and was beginning to fall. Alima, distracted by the sudden sensation of freefall, glanced upward. Fast as a striking sand panther, Jag drew his oversized blaster and aimed it at Alima. He wasn't fast enough. She did not even look down at him. While he was in mid-draw, Alima released her lightsaber and crooked a finger at his blaster. It flew from Jag's grasp into her hand. Her lightsaber floated beside her. Alima looked down at him and shook her head.
"You die because you oppose us. Because you insult the Nest. But most of all, you die because you refuse to learn."
"Oh, but I do learn. The sensor inside that blaster is now informing its processor that it's gone beyond a certain distance from me. 5.
Droids firing lasers. Now that would have been intelligent and dangerous to us.
4.
We cannot feel droid intent, and lasers travel faster than the eye can follow.
3.
Such an attack, executed from secrecy, might well have hurt or killed us.
2.
But now, we will simply cut you to pieces."
Alima gestured, and her lightsaber began floating its way toward Jag. She watched, her expression cool and detached beneath her faceplate.
1.
And in that last moment, though Jag had tried to concentrate solely on his pain, on his sense of desperation and failure, something of his growing anticipation must have leaked through his emotional barriers. Alima's eyes widened. She looked back and forth for the new danger she was just beginning to sense. The blaster in her hand exploded. The detonation was brilliant and noiseless, sure sign of how near vacuum the atmosphere was. Jag's faceplate polarized almost instantly, leaving him dazzled but not quite blind. He ignited his thrusters, hurtling upward. Alima's face was contorted in shock and pain. Her right arm was gone from just below the elbow. Blood trailed from it, bubbling and evaporating where it left her injury. As Jag reached her, he grabbed her neck in his right hand. She looked at him. Her expression changed from pain to a plea. He shook his head.
"It's too late. You refused to surrender. Your last act was an attempted murder. I can't spare you."
He did not speak these words. They would have taken too long, perhaps giving her time to recover. He could see that there was fear in her eyes, but not fear of death. Her lips moved, forming a single word.
"Remember."
Jag knew he was not suddenly sensitive in the Force, that he could not read her thoughts. But there they were, imprinted on his mind.
"Remember us. Remember us as we used to be, before the universe turned against us. Young, beautiful, strong, brave, admirable, loved, loving."
He nodded.
"I will."
The pain and fear in her expression eased. Jag squeezed. He felt the crack of Alima's vertebrae under his hand as they shattered. Her body went limp. Her eyes became unfocused and distant. Static erupted across his comlink. Though there was not enough atmosphere to carry the sound of distant explosions to him, he knew that the high yield of those bombs had to be interfering with comm reception. He hit his thrusters and began rising toward the stone aperture above. Jaina found Zek perched atop a section of track, exactly where she had stood when Alima's mysterious weapon had attacked her and severed the rails. Despite the fact that the air pressure was dropping rapidly, Zek did not have his mask on.
"Zek, get moving."
She fumbled around in his belt pouch, found his foil mask, and slipped it over his head, drawing it cinch tight around his collar. He shook his head, not looking at her.
"Go on. You need to leave."
"We need to leave."
She tugged at his shoulder, bringing him to his knees.
"It's in me. The evil of this place. I thought I'd be able to keep it at bay forever. No, it doesn't work that way."
She crouched, getting her arms around his waist, and then straightened, propelling them both up toward the next section of track.
"Zek, are you my friend?"
"I'm your friend. I love you."
His words emerged almost as a babble, running together and inflectionless.
I need you to help me, if I'm going to get out of here alive."
They crossed the gap, and she grabbed the next section of track.
"Now climb, or I'll carry you, and I'll be slow, and I'll die."
"All right."
Mechanically, he turned, got his hands on the cross ties, and began climbing.
"We'll get you back to where the masters are, and they'll get the evil out of you."
"Oh, maybe."
Zek frowned, struggling to remember something. "Where's Jag?"
He's following.
The lies sounded unconvincing, even pathetic, to Jaina's ears. But Zek, dazed as he seemed to be, didn't notice. He nodded, satisfied. The track wobbled under their hands. Something had to be shaking it. Jaina glanced down, seeing nothing below, and then up. Above them, a giant sphere was rolling down the tracks. It looked like a plant spore, but 2 meters across instead of microscopic, and made of grayish metal instead of organic material. It did not roll neatly down the track, but adhered to it as if magnetized. Jaina assumed it was indeed magnetic, something designed to adhere to ship hulls. She pulled Zek around to the underside of the track and held on, preparing to leap free if the thing's projections threatened to crush a limb in passing. But the spheroid rolled on past harmlessly, descending into the darkness. Zek stared after it, vaguely curious. "What's that?"
"A space mine, I think. Nothing we want to be near when it goes off. Come on, keep climbing."
They reached the surface and found the track intact up to the habitat above. But the track shook under their fingers, and they could both see the stony ground shaking all around them, kicking up clouds of dust in oddly beautiful streamers. Jaina saw a distant flash to spinward, a sign of another explosion beyond the horizon. She grabbed Zek and kicked free, leaping toward the hole into the habitat above. Together they floated through. As the artificial gravity of the habitat hit them, they dropped, landing awkwardly on the lip of the hole. Jaina breathed a sigh of relief. Then the shock wave from the last explosion hit. The ground 15 meters down rippled as though it were cloth laid atop water. Jaina felt her legs shaking, from external vibrations rather than exhaustion. Jag's X-wing, visible beneath the hole, rose on one wing as if banking, then tumbled out of sight. The vibrations increased. The habitat suddenly tilted. The chamber was plunged into darkness, relieved only by the circle of lights around the exit hole, and the 2 Jedi floated free of the floor. Suddenly, the view through the hole showed more ground, then distant horizon, then stars. The habitat was free of the asteroid, kicked loose by successive explosions, and was tumbling. When the 2 Jedi forced open the door into the hangar, they found everything beyond in a state of chaos. Dim emergency lighting revealed 2 stealth X's, dozens of Durasteel storage barrels, 2 refueling pumps, and countless hundreds of hand tools circulating through the large open space, ricocheting, in a slow and stately way, in the case of the snub fighters, off the walls and colliding with other free-floating debris. As Jaina watched, 1 cylindrical metal barrel collided with a strike foil of Zek's Stealth X and partially crumpled, its lid popping free, the greenish hydraulic fluid it held slowly pouring out into the atmosphere and spreading. In addition to the sounds of clanks, crashes, and other collisions, the R-9 astromechs in the 2 snub fighters were adding screeches and musical tones of dismay to the din. The control board for the hangar door and its atmosphere shield was dead. Jaina glanced at Zek and gestured at the metal storm they faced.
"No way to manage a safe launch. Get in your cockpit. I'll get the hangar doors open."
Zek shook his head. "You'll be sucked right out into the void when you do." He sounded a bit stronger, as though distance from the pool of dark side energy was restoring his spirits.
"I'll use a shadow bomb."
Zek winced. A shadow bomb detonated at that proximity to the stealth X's was certain to damage them. But Jaina knew she was right. Opening the hangar doors with a lightsaber and telekinetic nudges from the Force was certain death for the opener. Zek gave her a pained look and pushed off from the wall. floating on an intercept course toward his Stealth X. Aboard the Millennium Falcon. The Falcon's comm board made a brief crackling noise. Then Leia could hear Jaina's voice across it.
No checklist, no time. Arming.
Zack was next.
Shields up.
Shields up, copy. Repulsor lifts to max. Hold yourself in place.
Leia felt a weight, something like 10 tons, drop away from her shoulders. She keyed her comm board.
Jaina? Firing!
One wall of the distant, tumbling habitat blew out, venting atmosphere and a cloud of particulate matter. A moment later, one Stealth X emerged, then another, trailing more debris. One after the other, they angled toward the Falcon. Jaina's next words were stronger.
Yes, Mom?
Are you all right? As well as can be expected.
Jaina's tone was joyless.
What about Alima? And Jag?
There was a long pause before Jaina's response.
Both dead, I think.